And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Like I said, I don't have a whole lot of experience doing this sort of thing, so I'll try to, you know, be a good radio presence and not, you know, leave too many awkward silences or whatever.
Don't worry, we've been doing this for 3 years and we're still nothing but awkward silences and stupid comments.
I don't think
we have the awkward silences anymore.
No, they're intentional when we do have them.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Okay, no awkward silences, just lots of talking over each other.
I was born ready.
No, you weren't.
I was actually. I was born this way. This is so Lady Gaga tells me.
Oh, on that note, what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris.
I'm Pappy.
And Chris is here this week.
I'm here this week. I'm not falling off the face of the earth.
Yeah, you're still Skyping in because we have grown too lazy to go to the same room to do this.
Yep, but because I'm too addicted to Hearthstone.
Yeah, true. And my chair is just so much more comfortable than being hunched on your bed.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that we're not like
crammed
into the same room.
I'm quitting the show. This is going to be my last episode.
Finally,
it's cutting into my time playing Alpha Beats.
On that note, we have a guest this week. The person responsible for your newest addiction, Mike. How are you doing, sir?
Hi, I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Not a problem. Give us a quick rundown of who you are, what you do, and why you're on our dumb little show.
All right. So, hi. Yeah, my name's Mike Sennett, and I'm with a game studio called Rad Dragon. So,
great name, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, yeah, we wanted to kind of mix, you know, sort of being informal and, you know, making games that are kind of fun and comedy and stuff with, you know, remembering sort of that what dragons represent and the epic fantasy and all that and kind of, you know, mixing that.
I'll be honest, I don't see much fantasy in your game.
It's very like, I'm smart. Here's a game for smart people. I'm just going to throw it out there right now.
So we started off the company in grad school. And so the game, or the company originally kind of was us trying to mix all of our like fancy grad school experimental things that we wanted to do, kind of like the cool art school experiments of making new leaps in game narrative and structure and stuff, and taking that and also making it fun and accessible and cool for people to play. And so from there, we kind of made a few different games and evolved a little bit and ended up as a mobile game studio, and just trying to make sort of new mechanics and genres that hadn't really been seen before. And so from there, we ended up with Alpha Beats. So yeah, to get back on message for a second, Alpha Beats Master Edition just came out this past week, for PC, Mac, and Linux.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's a pretty simple game where letters fall to the beat and you catch them to make words. And, there's a bunch of cool electronic music built into the game, and you can also use it with your own custom songs. You can import any song on your computer to, and it'll automatically make it into, you know, a challenging track that you can play through. And
which is definitely a fun twist. I've been playing along to some fun songs.
I can only imagine the types of songs that you're using, Joe.
That's where I tried to cheat, and your game algorithm caught me and called me on it.
Yeah, I've played a 20-minute long song, and I've played a 3-second long song. 3-second long song is pretty hard. It's pretty hard to make a word with one letter.
I noticed, you know, the songs themselves. Now, how does it decide how quickly the music is going to drop down? Is it with the bass? Is it with the time signature of the song? Like, how does your algorithm figure that?
Right. So for the songs that are built into the game, I actually scripted it all myself. So I went through and I, you know, figured out the BPM of the song and kind of actually like orchestrated where the different notes would fall, so that it would feel like the music. And that's why the songs that are built into the game, they have a bit of extra flashiness. They've got, you know, the background will change and light up at different times, and the notes will slow down and speed up in different ways according to kind of the feel of the music. And, you know, obviously I couldn't do that for the imported songs. So with that, it's a little bit more, you know, based on the algorithms. It just kind of uses beat detection algorithms and smooths it out a little so that the letters aren't falling too often or too, you know, spread out. And then it uses the difficulty that you pick. Makes
okay. Yeah, so, and since I interrupted you while you were explaining the game, we'll get back to that, I guess. Letters fall individually, and you catch them. You move left and right to catch additional letters to create a word with
Pappy.
While you're creating the word, you don't want anything to interrupt, right?
Pappy, this isn't your game. Let him tell us about it.
No, no, no. I was apologizing for fixing that and going back to him. Come on, Joe. You know how this works.
No, I don't.
We apologize for everything, Jose.
So that was a good explanation.
Yeah, Joe gets surprised when I actually have an opinion with the game, so he likes to interrupt me because he's not used to it.
I'm just not used to you ever having an opinion about anything of worth.
So, back to the game. Back to the game design. Hey,
resume the sales pitch for the title.
Oh, sure. So, so just to kind of reiterate, I guess, what's going on when you're playing the game. These letters are dropping from the top of the screen. You collect them with this paddle, and as you do, it starts spelling out words, and your goal is to make words and then deposit them by, you know, just clicking the up button to get points. And the longer the word you're able to make, the more points you get. But it gets harder the longer the word you try to make, because your paddle gets bigger because the word is bigger. And so it gets tougher to dodge the letters that you don't want. And so if you end up getting, you know, the wrong letter and starting to, trying to spell, like, you know, skate, and you get S-K-A-T-X, then it'll just, the word will fall apart. And then it'll, in a puff of smoke, it'll tell you a word that you could have made.
That's the one thing that I thought was really interesting, because, like, I got one or two extra letters that I didn't want, and I assumed it would just fall apart if there were no words that I was able to make at all. So I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, all right, what can I do? What can I do? And then I figured it out, and the letter dropped where I was able to make it. But I like that it's not just one of those things where, you know, you kind of have to figure it out yourself if there's an option. Like, it'll pretty much fall apart if there isn't one, correct?
Yeah, always. I think it's the reason it gives a little hint at the end is because sometimes I was getting weird word sequences where I had no idea that there were words that started with those letters. And so I wasn't sure if it was like a bug or not. But so then I made it so that whenever you lose, it tells you, you know, a word in the dictionary that actually started with those letters.
Now, did you have to sit and like program every single word from the dictionary into the game?
No, luckily we were able to get a dictionary. We ended up adding and modifying it a little bit, but the base dictionary was our friend Asher Vollmer, who made the game Puzzle Juice and later made the game
Puzzle
Threes.
Juice.
he was kind enough to share his dictionary with us, so we kind of ripped off that dictionary and made a few changes.
Yeah, and there's where I've already broken your dictionary. Because I have already found a few words that I was trying to make that aren't in your recognized lexicon. So,
like what?
Yeah.
Like, cot. That's my cheat word. Q-A-T. When you grab a Q and you don't see any use, that's my cheat word. And the game was like, no, that's not a thing.
Get your Scrabble bullshit out of here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I are very competitive with Scrabble, so I know a lot of those little cheat words. I was trying to use it in Alphabeats.
Yeah, that's true. It's tough. I personally don't really like those sort of cheat words.
Like, yeah, so go fuck yourself, Pappy.
I prefer playing the version of Scrabble where when you play a word, you have to say what it means.
Yeah, where you actually yourself have to know. Like,
yeah, it's not just like random series of symbols.
That's fair. I mean, I can't complain too much. 1 hour of gameplay, I've already unlocked 14 achievements, so I look forward to making Chris feel stupid in the future.
Listen, when it comes to word games, I am just like, I'm dog shit at them. I'm just absolutely horrible at them.
Is my jam. I play Wordament on the Windows phone. So it's basically Boggle. And I took 16th place today out of like 850 people playing.
Good God.
So, Alpha Beats is my new crack.
that's great to hear. Yeah, on the mobile version. I should say this game came out, about 2 years ago now, a year and a half, for iPad and iPhone as well. So it's available on those. But I
didn't hear Windows Phone in there.
No. Sadly, we... It would have been a total pain to put it on Windows Phone.
Waste of time and money.
Getting the leaderboards and everything to work, yeah. But anyhow, I came out for that a year and a half ago, and I think I still have the high scores for a lot of the songs and, like, for the best words and stuff.
That's because you're cheating, so really, clearly.
I'm really hoping that people are able to, you know, get this game and do better than me. And set awesome high scores and stuff, because I think that, as much as I've tried to make it accessible and tried to make it, you know, friendly and start off really slow, I think that it's kind of a game that is at its coolest when it's sort of high level play and is people, really trying to do impressive things and make crazy words, and it's all going really fast and, hopefully trying to get a little bit of like a competitive scene, or at least some people who are, you know, trying to get real good at the game.
I'm pretty bad at it. I think my best score so far has been a B ranking. I've not gotten anything above that yet.
I'm shooting for that B with Super Veet Boy. Just a few hundred away. I've got a solid C on that one. I got a couple A's, but I haven't pulled an S yet.
I don't remember what I scored when I played.
I think you got a C.
I did awful.
It was fun to watch, though.
Yeah, that's one of the, I guess, one of the hazards of being a game designer is that you end up being, like, way too good at your own game, pretty much no matter what you're working on.
I can imagine.
And then, because you just, you know, you have to play it for hundreds of hours.
Just ad nauseum.
Yeah, and so you kind of lose touch with what it's like for most people to play the game. And so the first few times I playtested it, it was definitely like, oh, okay, like, I'll pick the easiest song. And then they played it, and we're like, oh my god, what's happening? So, oh, yeah, okay, I guess that's now the hardest song, and I'll work backwards from that.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it, though, and the soundtrack is phenomenal in this game.
Ah, that's great to hear. Yeah, we were really fortunate to get to connect with some awesome musicians.
Tell us a bit about the soundtrack, some of the people that you have on board.
Okay, yeah. So the bands that we have are, artists, I guess, are we have Disaster Piece, who's... Rich Freeland, he's doing the music for the upcoming Hyperlight Drifter and is known for doing things such as the Fez soundtrack and the soundtrack to the movie It Follows and a whole bunch of other awesome stuff.
Poor guy.
We have some songs from Big Giant Circles.
Good friend of ours. We love Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're awesome songs. We have... another chiptune artist called ABXY, who we've collaborated with on some stuff. There's, I guess, a couple different chiptune artists called ABXY. So this is the one that's ABXY Select on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, we have Absent Qualia, who's a good friend of mine, who's made some really kind of chiller ambient electronic tracks for this game that are, you know, less of the hyperactive dubstep chiptune-y stuff and more kind of the chill outside. And then we've got some music from our previous game at Rad Dragon, Shove Pro. We have a bunch of the tracks for that were really awesome, so we wanted to bring more exposure to them, that were done by a group called Whitley Tower House. Those are all fun tracks that are themed around different cities in Europe.
Nice. So the game started as a mobile game. What kind of challenges were there bringing it over to Steam and PC in general?
Yeah, so let's see. With Alphabeats in particular, the big challenge was, well, first of all, it would have been pretty easy to have phoned it in and have done like just kind of a generic, you know, mobile PC port where we just kind of put it on PC. That would have been pretty easy.
We are the pros at phoning it in, trust us.
Yep.
Yeah, when I looked on Steam, and there's a lot of mobile ports on Steam, and a lot of them really seem to just be the same game again, but on a computer. And so I really didn't want to do that. I wanted to justify this being sort of, a definitive experience that, you know, instead of people playing it on their phone for like a minute at a time, people would be able to sit down and actually have a screen and play it on a controller on a couch if they wanted and stuff like that. So the biggest challenge was probably the controls. Shifting it from working with touch to being able to work with the keyboard too, and with controllers, because I like playing PC games with the controller most of the time. I grew up as a console gamer and stuff. I was just raised in that sort of household. It was mostly just making all the menus and stuff work and adding all the options for graphics and sounds and just doing a lot of testing, because people have different computers, and the game uses the Unity engine, which is usually really good at that sort of stuff and made it pretty easy to put on a computer from mobile, but also has a few really weird things going on. I learned that if you make a 2D game in Unity and then you put it on the Mac, it crashes when you get an achievement unless you make an invisible cube and put it in the corner. So that was something I learned.
That's weird.
Achievement, click the invisible cube.
Yeah, it was just like they say that the last 10% of work is 90% of the work for the game, and with this PC port, it was the last 10% of that was, you know, 90% of the work, just fixing all the bugs and really weird things that inexplicably happen. And besides that, you know, the other big thing was the new custom songs, which were, that was fun to work on, more so than like fixing all the little bugs and stuff.
Yeah, I had fun. I was playing Chris's songs in the game earlier today.
Well, which one did you use?
Shantae, obviously.
Oh yeah, that's probably cool. I could see that.
See, if you do another release of the game, you should get some of Chris's music in the game.
I gotta start like putting some more, like, just, I'm gonna have to start throwing stuff out there that people could just drop into a game and it would fit.
I tell you what, yeah, if the way YouTube's going right now, if you just promise not to have it come up in their little fucking algorithm, yeah, then you'll have a lot of people picking up your music.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to start getting on that. I'm gonna start doing that like as soon as I get off this call.
One more reason to make this show as short as possible for Chris.
not necessarily. I'm pretty well vested into it, right? I've got Hearthstone in front of me.
Fine. Your distraction, so you're good.
Yep. Yeah. And I have a pizza. Like, I can't complain.
Yeah, but your pizza doesn't have any meat or cheese on it, so.
No, but it has vegan cheese, and it has peppers fake cheese. And mushrooms.
Mushrooms, okay.
Yeah, so it's still delicious.
Sure it is.
That's where we introduce the delivered awkward silence.
Yep.
Bastards. So what kind of pizza do you like?
Oh, wow. This is a tough-hitting question.
We go big or go home here.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Well, the other day I had a release party for the game with some of my friends, and there I had a barbecue chicken pizza, which I understand is not viewed as a true pizza, but it was pretty good. And, you know, also just a standard sort of cheese, beef, onion pizza. I'm also a fan of Chicago-style pizza when I can get it, the bready deep dish type of pizza.
I like deep dish. Deep dish is good.
I never really experienced true deep dish until I think Jordan actually made a deep dish before. It was like a completely different experience, because you have to understand, like, we're from the Northeast, and like they're doing a documentary on pizza, like, for our area.
Really?
Just our pizza shops. Yeah. I don't know if
that finally.
Yeah. I guess it's actually like, I think they're actually like releasing it soon, like within a couple weeks.
Huh. We can't bring in any factory jobs. We can't bring in anything that'll help unemployment or you know, unfuck the next seven generations. But we make the best pizza in the country, goddamn.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. It is, you know, you cannot even dispute it.
There's some damn good pizza in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Yeah, huh. It's...
Let's look after that.
So if I've you actually, ever find yourself in our neck of the woods...
Yeah, right? But obviously, like, our perception of pizza is very, like... Most of it's flat. It's just very flat, flimsy... Whatever, but it's more so within like the sauce and just I don't know. It's Chicago style to us is just like not pizza. Like
it's like somebody tried to bake a pie, but instead of using like sweet ingredients, they dumped tomatoes.
Yeah, they just put tomatoes in it. Yeah.
why did you?
Well, yeah, I you know, I can appreciate all different sorts of pizzas. You can't just stick to one, you know, pizza dogma.
You can't be a pizza racist.
Mix it up and experience life.
Yeah, I personally don't like to eat a pizza that I need a fork. Like that's, you know, after having a deep dish, I'm like, I can see why people like this. I don't.
Yeah.
Now we move on.
I am so hungry for Delo's right now because of this conversation.
See, and that's the thing. Like, up here, it's like, there are specific pizza shops that you get cravings for every once in a while.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, very, very strange.
You want a sweeter crust? Do you, or a sweeter sauce? Do you want a thicker crust? Do you want a different kind of cheese? Do you want it burnt to fuck, like Joe does? And just go get Toosies.
Who likes it burnt to fuck?
That's everything Toosies does is burnt to
I
fuck.
I hate Toosies.
No, Ashley
motherfucker,
likes
don't you dare say that I like Toosies.
No,
like,
I apologize. I just confused you with somebody.
Oh,
no,
man.
Ashley likes Toosies.
I don't think Ashley's had Toosies.
Joe and I have been friends for like 22 years, so now we're in the senility portion of our marriage.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I'm not the developer of Toosies.
Have you ever heard of Philadelphia, the quote unquote street war between the two most popular cheesesteak places?
They're like across the street from each other.
Yeah, in Berwick, Pennsylvania, it's Toosies and Delo's.
Yeah,
and if you like one, you're almost obligated to just hate the shit out of the other.
It is literal gang warfare between the two pizza factions in Berwick. I mean, there's other pizza places. And the rest of them just coexist in their own little world. But Delo's and Toosies, it's hardcore. And if you're
I worked for Delo's for a year, so I kind of picked sides early on that one.
Yeah, I see that happen a lot. I grew up in the Northeast, in New Hampshire, and in Boston, there's these two Italian bakeries that are like that, and even in Seabrook, New Hampshire, there are these two lobster places across the street that have a fierce rivalry, and going out to L.A., there are the original roast beef places that claim to be the original roast beef and or the original French dip. There's those serious crosstown rivalries or cross street rivalries, and we just gotta embrace it sometimes and just enjoy picking a side in a war that has like absolutely no consequences.
Yeah, that doesn't happen really in Vegas because back in the day, if someone made a counterclaim, then the mob just burned your shit down. So, you know, no one here claims to be better than anyone else. They're just like, yeah, hey, look, we have this and it's good. Come buy it.
Man, Dalo's is so good. It's kind of like it's a carnival style pizza where it's a thick, doughy breading crust. Instead of like a normal pizza sauce, they use just like regular tomato sauce. And they use American cheese.
All the crusts are made in the morning, so we don't make the crust to order. And the sauce is hand-mixed between tomato sauce, tomato paste, oil, and a couple of special spices.
It's so good.
And the can opener was installed in 1905, and that fucker hates everybody. I mean, the number of times it just attacked the shit out of my hands.
How many people have eaten your blood, Pappy?
Enough to be concerned. And they should be glad that I was practicing safe sex. That's all I got to say.
Oh, my Lord.
And the secret with the cheese is we actually cook the pizza and the toppings, and then you pull the cheese, you pull the pizza out after 10 minutes, hand grate the cheese, put it back in for 2 minutes just to melt the cheese, and then pull it back out and slice the pizza.
It is so good.
So then your first bite glues cheese to the roof of your mouth, and you just have
and
to leave it there.
You melt,
just leave it
the
there.
The roof of your mouth just is burnt and melted, and then
no, it's not burnt because the cheese isn't that hot. It's just, it's perfect.
Oh, no, depending on how fresh. I ate it from the oven. No,
from the oven is cool. You can't eat it out of the oven. You have to like essentially, because it was like a 30 or 40 minute drive for us to get Dalo's, we used that 30 minutes for it to cool down.
What made you decide that Alpha Beats was the kind of game that needed to fill a void in my heart?
Well, it was at a time where we were talking with the publisher and at Rad Dragon, kind of playing the wait in game for a project, so we wanted just like a little side project game jam type thing to fill the void, and I started thinking about games that wouldn't require any graphics, because with every Rad Dragon game, my friend Teddy and I who run the company have collaborated with a different outside artist because neither of us can draw. And it's been great. I should say that right now, that Alpha Beats, we ended up getting Irene Ko to do the graphic design, and she is awesome and is off doing like major comic book art now.
Oh, wow.
Which is super great. Anyhow, we were starting off trying to think of a game that wouldn't take too much art, and so I thought of word games, because those you just have the letters, you don't have to draw the letters, they're letters, they're fine. I like word games. I was like an English major in college, so I like words and think they're fun and that sort of thing. And I get to thinking that two things that I like are word games and games that like kind of Twitch action games. I like playing all the, I guess, like third-person action games, like The Devil May Cry and God Hand and all those sorts of things. Back when I was a kid, Mega Man and Ninja Gaiden and that sort of game. So I was trying to think of a way to make a spelling game that was more like that, where it wasn't just a regular like word search or Boggle variant where it would kind of combine your, like, you know, your, I guess, more intellectual side of your brain and the more, you know, like, reptilian twitch part of your brain at the same time. And where you'd have to be...
Are you calling me a lizard?
Yeah, I am. I'm calling you a wizard, Joe. I like the cool little... Each song you get one of three specials was pretty cool to throw in there to really toss things up. I just wish I remembered to hit the destroy all letters thing more often.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that one is underrated. Because... So there's three power-ups. There's a multiplier that makes your current word worth double. There's a shrink that shrinks down your current paddle so that it only takes up one space. And that one's really useful because it lets you make, like, incredibly long words that you wouldn't otherwise be able to make. But it also cuts the score of your word in half. So that's why the bomb power-up is so useful that destroys all the letters, because you can use that to kind of... get another chance when you've got a cool word going and there's some words, the letters that are going to wreck it.
Yeah, I've gotten, I got to double check the achievements. I know I got the 6-letter. I think I got a 7-letter word already. And
there's one for 8 and 9, I think.
Yeah, those are the ones I look at. I'm like, I'm going to have to remember to use shrink. Like,
yeah,
I've gotten 9 a few times without using shrink, but it's definitely pretty hard.
How do you do it without using shrink?
The first 9-letter word I got was, it definitely is easier with some of the songs. The ones that don't have 2 letters falling at the same time are easier. It helps to make words that you can kind of jump off at any time. Like the first 9-1 I made was like tattooers. Which was good because I could have jumped off at 6 after tattoo, but then a couple more letters fell, so I figured I'd just risk it, and then I could have gone and jumped off after tattooer and just made that word, but then I tried to hold off for an S. So if you get words where you can, I guess that's my pro tip for the game, is try to get words that let you jump off them if there's, you know, a disaster, but you can keep building onto it if you get lucky and get the right letters.
Well, that'll teach me to keep trying to hold off for Quetzalcoatl.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that way you miss out on the Quetzalcoatl achievement, though.
Damn it.
That would be the dickiest achievement ever.
Well, the achievement for spelling Quetzalcoatl is actually the end of civilization and the return of the thunder serpent bird.
Hey, Pappy, what was that word that Dan Owens used to... always ramble off in high school?
Anti-disestablishmentarianism was the longest non-medical term in the dictionary. And then Flossy Posse and the Hill to Bill Vacations turned out that one was, he found out.
I thought it was pneumona ultramicroscopic cholecystokinoconiosis.
That's the longest medical.
Okay.
Flossy Posse and the Hill to Bill Vacations was the longest non-medical word in the English dictionary, the real one. And it means to estimate as worthless. So to me, the word defines itself.
Yes. It is a worthless word that you will never remember unless you're stupid like us.
Oh, yeah. sorry, that just reminded me of something. which is that... I guess my personal philosophy is that, with cool vocabulary is that... it's better to have, you know, sort of short, concise words that are cool and mean, you know, sort of unique things and have different shading than it is to just try to have really big words. So in Alphabeats, there's a word of the day every day is just kind of a suggestion of a word that you could make that's kind of a new and fun one that's pretty obscure and is kind of a vocab word. I don't know. I tried to come up with... there's a year's worth of words of the day, so they repeat every year. And I tried to think of words that would that I didn't know, and that were pretty that were also kind of cool and useful, and kind of meant unique things and weren't just synonyms for something.
Tell us some of the interesting ones that you put in.
Oh man, I'd have to bring up the list here. some. I'll try to do that. I'll try
put
to
put me on the spot.
You know, maybe I'll just run the game and say what the word of the day for today is. I think I'll do that.
While he's looking, I've been harassing coworkers by deliberately using words they have to look up and then walking away. Because, I don't know, I mean, I've been very bored lately with not actually having a job but still having to come to work.
And that's just keeping you occupied.
Yeah, so I walked up to the physical dimensional supervisor, and I was like, hey, man, I got a killer headache. Do you have any drills strong enough to get through my skull? And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I need to do some tray panning. And I just walked away like, ah, motherfuckers, like acting like all upset and stuff. So he had to look it up just to know what my joke was. And I did it deliberately. Like, no one's going to know what the hell tray panning is in this career field. You know?
Oh, man. The Golden Compass had a lot about tray panning in the first chapter.
My boss was bragging about how he's embarrassed his wife into not reading books at home anymore. All right.
So, what a dick.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
These are my coworkers. They are people. They are fun. The only guy who I knew would get it, I cracked the joke to him later, but he has a degree in philosophy, so I'm like, I know you know what this means.
Today's word of the day is descry, D-E-S-C-R-Y, which means to carefully observe and detect something that's difficult to find.
Huh.
So scry
is to peek, and then descry is to detect.
Yeah, it's kind of specifically to find something that's kind of hidden by.
I made the word tit in the game.
In a sense, Joe, when I come visit, we will have to descry your penis.
Seriously, I made the word tit. I was excited about it. Tit.
You can go for boobs. Yeah.
Chris thanks, had a man. Chance to make poop, but he didn't.
I did. I tried. That was a legitimate word that I was trying for.
I'm 12.
I like how you're so sad about it. Like, I was trying for it to suggest you did not get it. Did the letters not drop, or
I missed them?
He made pogo instead.
I'm terrible. Yeah, I made pogo instead.
Still, pogo, that's a fun word.
Yeah. But I just see, like, with word games, I'm always thinking of. I'll think of obscure words, but they're obscure words that don't get you many points. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Like, that's the problem that I always have with word games is because, like, it's not necessarily, like, by the rarity of the use of the word. It's just like, oh, this letter makes up this many points, and that's how many points you get for that. Like, you know what I mean?
I've always found Scrabble kind of weird for that reason, too, just because you pretty much need words with X's or Q's or Z's. And
Quetzalcoatl.
So at this one, I kind of had the word of the day to try to highlight some words that are, you know, shorter words that don't use like a bunch of X's and Z's that are, you know, still kind of obscure and cool. It goes, the length goes up throughout the week, so at first the word of the day is always four letters and then five, and then eventually it gets up to six, seven, eight. But yeah, it was tough finding a lot of obscure four letter words. And also the game doesn't give like ridiculous point bonuses for Z and X. It gives a little bonus for rarity.
Your highlighted letters, so what is it?
Yeah, there's three types of letters. White,
but the rarity is still technically based off of the lettering, yes.
I mean,
I'm sure it would be a programming nightmare, but, like, there's got to be, like, some sort of, survey or test that people have taken when given certain letters, like, they are more than likely to come up with these words than over than be, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I tried,
and almost
I tried
have like a ratio
that.
Of yeah.
It was sad that I couldn't find that data set publicly available anywhere, but it would have been cool to find, like, you know, the rank of commonality for all the words, and
right. And I'm just like, when there's a word game that can figure that out, then I'll be like, okay, this is different enough that I might have a chance. Like
one of the things one of my friends suggested was like just keeping track of every word that every player makes and using and adjusting an evolving market of how much each word is worth.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, that would be, you know, a little intense. I might do that, you know, if a lot of people buy the game and
I can already imagine now, like from a game designer's perspective, how much of a nightmare that would really be.
it would be, you know, it would be a bit of a programming thing, but it would be as you said, something different.
Yeah. I think everyone has their weakness too. Like for me, it's J. Just fuck the letter J. It's like jog, job, joust, jot. That's it. I'm done. I'm spent.
Jaunt.
See, that's it. I'm spent. The letter J is
Jubilee.
My
thing. I really like the word Jubilee.
Juice.
Racist.
Yes.
There's like at least five words that start with J.
Hey, seriously, yeah. Joe. But
for me, we're helping when people learn all sorts of things today.
Yeah, when I'm playing Boggle and everything like that, I'm always just avoiding the J. I'm like, nope. Give me like seven V's in a Q. I'm better off than one J. Like,
yeah, because is a word.
Quibble is now.
Quibble is a quibble, which you know.
Yeah, Q-V-V-V-L.
It is now.
Quibble.
Stop quibbling.
So you mentioned in the transition to Steam and Mac Linux that it has controller support. That leads to me asking if there's any chance we could see this come to consoles.
Oh man. You know, at this point the game would have to do pretty well, I think. You know, we'd need to kind of catch fire a little bit and, you know, hopefully through podcasts like this one and people streaming the game and stuff like that, get, you know, get a pretty big community of people to, you know, to justify bringing it over to other platforms at this point. But I would, you know, I would totally love to see that happen. But at this point, it's mostly just there's like certification for going through consoles. You have to, you know, do a lot of running around to try to, you know, test everything and get everything on standard. So it would just take another few months of programming. And at this point, everybody on our team is kind of moved on a little bit to other projects. And aww, we're just, you know,
things with less words in them.
Well, probably more words for me because I'm making like a game that has a story and stuff. But you know, this is kind of our Rad Dragon's last hurrah, I guess, was bringing Alpha Beats to PC here. So I don't know. I would love to see it on consoles, but I think right now your best bet is probably hooking up an Xbox controller to your computer.
Yeah, that's how I've been playing it, but I'll hold out hope. It's easy to tell our show is we're definitely console boys on the show. So the more titles we see come to consoles, specifically Xbox, because that's how we are.
Dude, if I had to play Alpha Beats on a rock while someone played the music on a fucking kazoo, I would still do it.
So when are we, the sequel?
I was gonna say when are we making this happen? Like,
I think that could like probably. That'd make a good art project, and, you know. I could probably get that into Indiecade and stuff.
Especially because I would immediately just go into my collection, and then, you know, oh yeah, hey, let's do some. Hey, Mr. Kazoo guy, we're gonna play some fucking, you know, Wolf Mother. Let's do this.
Mindless self indulgence, stupid motherfucker. Yeah. Let's. I want to hear a kazoo cover of Stupid MF now.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Chris, you're the musician. Make it happen.
Why do I got to do it?
Go to the internet and recommend it. Someone will be like, that's a great idea. I'm on it.
4 hours later. Here's a rough cut of it. I didn't get to hire the orchestra for it yet, but it should be tomorrow.
Kazoo orchestra.
If I had a kazoo, I would consider it.
Chris, I will fucking Amazon you a $2 kazoo, all right? Just to get this to happen.
You're going to make me do this, aren't you?
You're the one who opened your mouth and went, if only I had a kazoo, as it one of those, oh darn. It's not like you're asking for a saxophone. It's a kazoo. They are cheap.
True. Very true.
I don't know if I want to do this.
So since a console port or a sequel probably won't happen, has downloadable content been considered at all, or do you figure that the Add Your Own Songs kind of takes care of that?
Yeah, that was kind of a replacement. One of the big things that I wanted to do in porting the game to PC was make it so that there wouldn't be any downloadable content, because that sort of thing is, you know, what mobile is all about, basically. So when we put the game out on iOS, if you download it on that, you'll get, I believe, 5 or 6 songs, and all the rest you have to pay, you know, $1 to download, or, you know, download them in packs, and there's special rotating free offers and stuff like that. But, you know, it gets a little, I don't know, for somebody who grew up playing video games on consoles and stuff, it get a little tiring to have to have DLC and in-app purchases and to try to push that and design the game's economy around it and stuff. And I kind of wanted to just make a game that's really good, and then people would pay me money, and then I'd give them a game that was really good, and I wouldn't have to like hold back and try to like psychologically trick them into buying more things. So it was really refreshing to just make this version for PC and just be like, I've honestly been of this game possible.
I've been selling this game a lot on those people I know that would be interested in it. Although I did find the one group of people that sadly I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of interest from was my good friend and coworker who is dyslexic.
Yeah, that
I actually turned to him and I was like, dude, I played this great game. He's like, oh, what was it? I was like, oh, it's not for you. Like, I remember just in time. I'm like, I'll tell you about the game, but yeah, you probably won't be as interested as the other guys at the table.
You're an asshole, Pappy.
That is sad. Yeah. I guess, you know, you can't really design a game for everyone, no matter what sort of game you make. But yeah, that's always sad.
So you said this is...
You did your best.
Yeah, true. You mentioned this is the final hurrah for Rad Dragon. Is this the company's final game? Are you guys just branching out and doing your own thing now?
Yeah, so basically we're, you know, we're keeping Rad Dragon around and stuff, but for the most part we're moving on to different things and doing our own things, because for the most part Rad Dragon was two people. It was myself and my friend Teddy Diefenbach. And right now he's working on Hyper Light Drifter.
Nice.
And which is, yeah, the Kickstarter darling that is the super cool indie action game that looks really stylish and is going to be great. And so he's been working super hard on that, and has been part of that team for a while. And meanwhile, I've been working on my own secret indie projects. I've also been, you know, taking point on doing all the Alphabeat ports and stuff like that, but I've got I have another company spinning up that is making a game that is kind of secret at the moment, but
anything you could tell us about it?
Well, I think it kind of gets back to our roots. You know, I kind of I guess hinted a little bit at the story of Rad Dragon is a company that wanted to make like these, you know, super ambitious like RPGs and cool narrative story games and experimental crazy things, and ended up making a series of mobile games that were cool and had, you know, really original mechanics and new takes on genres and stuff, but didn't really have like the dragon part of the equation, didn't really have like, you know, the epic imaginative scope. And so I want to get back to doing that sort of stuff. Basically, I want to make a game that's very story focused, and also that is weird, basically, and has is a comedy game that has like a sense of humor, and that is not what most people expect when playing a game.
Well, so, we are fans of weird, so that's always good.
Yeah, once you're far enough into that one, you actually want to like start pimping it out a little bit, definitely let us know.
Yeah, definitely.
Any idea if that is a mobile or PC console, a mix?
With that one, luckily we're using Unity again, and which is, you know, I guess what the vast majority of indie dudes do nowadays. But because of that, we can be kind of platform agnostic and just kind of build it. So right now we're building it on a PC because that's what you program on, and so it's easy to test it on that and stuff. But we're trying to be smart and make all our menus and controls and such so that it'll be easy to control them with a controller or a keyboard or a mouse or a touch. Basically, yeah, it'll definitely be a PC game, and hopefully, you know, if we get some momentum, we'll be able to bring it to other stuff too.
Well, consider this an official request to come to Xbox One.
We do like our Xbox One.
And Sega Game Gear, if you have the time.
Yeah, the Game Gear, clearly. Tiger R Zone.
I was thinking just Nomad, because then I could get, like, the Genesis too.
If you're going old school, you got to go Virtual Boy.
No.
VR is coming back.
Seriously, it is. It's the rebirth of VR, so you might as well go with the original VR.
Yeah, well, like, except this time you get a headache from the weight of the system, not from the actual play of the system.
Well, no, you just use it for the virtual. You code it for the Virtual Boy. Like, no pussyfooting around, no Oculus, no HTC Vive or whatever else. Just go full on Virtual Boy. Talk with Nintendo, get the cart manufacturing down.
Get rid of all the colors in our game.
And the profits for your company.
Red and black, right. That's the way to do it. It's the way of the future, I'm telling you.
This game was made by sadness. It will only play on the Virtual Boy.
I won't lie, I would buy it.
I'm sure that if they haven't already, that people are going to start making ironic Virtual Boy ports of stuff.
Probably.
You know, there's like.
I wouldn't be surprised.
There's, you know, the occasional. There's been the occasional old-timey port of stuff. Like, I remember the whole, like, Retro City Rampage game that he put on NES, I think. And, you know, I saw a Genesis game on Kickstarter a year or two back, and. You know, people are still doing that sort of thing. So with VR coming around, I'm sure there's going to be some Virtual Boy games coming out if there hasn't been already.
That'd be awesome. Didn't he make a Retro City Rampage playable in DOS?
I think so. Yeah, he made a project out of making it run on all sorts of stuff.
Except it never came to Xbox One. What a dick.
Right, here you go. Fan ports Hideo Kojima's cyberpunk classic Snatcher to the Virtual Boy.
What was that name again, Pappy?
Interesting.
Snatcher.
Hideo.
Fuck you.
Hideo Kojima.
Man, Kojima. It's Kojima.
Hideo.
That's like Hideo. How big of a fan I am of Shigeru Miyamoto.
Yeah, Miyamoto's my favorite artist.
Hideo Kojima.
Anyhow, the important thing here is that someone made Snatcher playable on the Virtual Boy.
Good times.
I've been meaning to play that game.
There you go.
Now's the time.
There is a website, Project Virtual Boy, dedicated to actually porting things. You called it, and someone was already like, "Yeah, no, that's a great idea. We're doing this right now."
I wonder if there's going to be emulators now for Oculus Rift and Vive. If you can just play Virtual Boy on your Oculus.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
I see that happening pretty quick.
I
would love to get one of those things, but the finances to actually afford an Oculus or a Vive, not to mention upgrading my PC enough to run the thing. That's why
we convinced them to sponsor our show and send us hardware for new games.
Oh, I wish. Oh. That'd be amazing.
So here's where I'm going to drop my, like, $1 million prediction, which is I think that with the rise of VR, that's going to cause arcades to come back. I think that they're just far enough out of people's price range that, and also that they require so much space and specialized equipment and high-end equipment that instead of people buying, you know, individual Vives and HoloLenses and stuff, it's going to be more efficient to just have social spaces where people, you know, try to make a really awesome space that has VR stuff that people can, you know, visit and experience it. And, you know,
that's really, you know, that's really interesting.
That is a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey Chris, let's make an Oculus bar.
That too.
That's exactly.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Let's drink alcohol and play Oculus.
No, you just call it. It's like a juice bar. There's not alcohol. Yeah,
I know what you were saying. I'm liking the idea of just drunk ass people playing Oculus.
Oh man, that'd be a nice contact sport. Drunk Oculus 14.
Are there barcades where you guys are?
There was actually, in our area.
There was a huge one called Insert Coins here in Vegas that actually shut down. Don't know why. I know why. He was claiming there was too much violence going on in the area because he was just off of Fremont Street, which is like, they call it the locals strip. So basically, it's if you can't afford the high-class prostitutes and drugs, you go to Fremont for the cheap and accessible prostitutes and drugs.
Yay!
It's good to know.
Oh, yeah. We don't even have a Dave and Buster's in our area. We don't have shit.
Holy shit. Wow.
Our area sucks.
Yeah.
But at least our pizza's awesome.
But the pizza, yeah.
Yeah, we got pizza. If it's pizza. One thing we got.
True. Pizza and Walmart. That's all you need.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely.
Pizza so Pappy, do you want to ask your question that you like to ask?
Yeah, when you're not confounding people with your verbal skills. What kind of video games do you like to play when you're just relaxing?
Oh man, yeah, that's one of the tough things about being an indie designer is it's harder to relax while playing games because I feel like I need to keep up to date and study them and figure out all the features and stuff. But yeah, in general, let's see, some of my favorite genres. I really love strategy RPGs, so I'm super happy right now that you know, XCOM and the new Fire Emblem both came out. That's
fuck yeah, Fire Emblem.
It's gonna be taking up a lot of my time. And let's see, I grew up playing those old RPGs on Super Nintendo era specifically. So I'm one of the generation where 6 is my favorite Final Fantasy and stuff. So.
You're a good guy. I'm your friend now.
It's good to hear. Good to hear.
Every time someone says Final Fantasy 10 is the best, I want to stab them.
That's, you know, it's almost always the first one you played. Or, you know, if you're a PC gamer, then none of them. It just, you know, you figure it, you come across it at the magic time in your life and things are more magical and, you know, just the scope and the epicness is just of pretty much all of them is just really impressive, even if some of them kind of suck now in retrospect.
Yeah.
But 6 has aged extremely well. But yeah, so anyhow, I grew up playing RPGs, so I like narrative games with a story. I just played Undertale, and I'm definitely pro Undertale. I also like sports games, which is pretty rare amongst game developers. I've always been sort of like a black sheep amongst nerds for liking
you.
Sports.
No, you might actually be the first one to answer this with a sports game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of my things, I guess, is that I like traditional sports and I think they're good examples of game designs and that there's a lot of lessons that people can be learning from them. And so esports are like mostly MOBAs right now, which are super confusing and arbitrary and stuff. And it's definitely on my list of things to do game design wise, is to try to make something that's a sports game that's okay for nerds to play and isn't just a bunch of like backwards culture troglodyte NFL stuff.
Does Rocket League count?
Yeah, Rocket League's pretty cool. I'm definitely in favor of Rocket League. I prefer like FIFA to Rocket League because Rocket League has, Rocket League has the quap thing going on for it. Rocket League has it's really hard to do basic stuff in the game, which is great because it's hilarious and it makes for YouTube videos and stuff like that. But
I don't know. Like the first time I picked up Rocket League, I just got the basics of it relatively quickly. Like I just started stomping through that game.
That makes one of us.
That makes the only of us.
Yeah. The first achievement I got on Rocket League was spend 5 minutes on the wall.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
It wasn't an intentional achievement.
It did not come easily for me to play Rocket League.
That's why we got to get Chris on so he can carry us to pro level.
I can do
true.
It. I can be that guy.
But anyhow, I like that Rocket League is basically the problem that traditional sports have getting, nerds to like them is a similar problem to the problem that MOBAs have getting anybody who's not way into MOBAs to like them, which is that you have to be super invested before you can understand anything that's going on. With a MOBA, you really, you can sort of get that people are shooting things at each other, but you have to know the details of every single character's kit and all the items, and you have to know how every single item in the game interacts with all the other possible builds to really appreciate the strategy that's going on. And it's really intimidating, and in sports are that way too. If you watch a football game and you have to understand about the league and you have to understand, which players are good and you have to, all these real obscure rules and stuff. But Rocket League is something that you can just play and it's fun and you can appreciate it. And it makes sense. And it feels like a sport. It's a game that you can play with friends and you can have fun. And it's not all like, another first-person shooter, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. It's one of the games that I constantly go back to, like, at least a couple times out of the week.
Yeah, he has a problem. It's a real addiction.
Yeah, I bought it. Well, shit, I bought it twice. So.
No, you only bought it once.
Rocket League?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I acquired it. I acquired it twice.
Oh, I bought it twice.
Well, good for you.
Well, good for the developers, really.
Anyway, Mike, we are coming up on about an hour here. It has been fantastic talking with you. Is there anything else you want to say about Alpha Beats or any final plugs that you want to give?
Well, like I said, I just hope that more people check out the game and that people, beat my high scores on it. And, let's see. I've been glad to be here on this podcast and able to talk about that and pizza and Rocket League and
all about pizza. If you ever come to Pennsylvania, I'll treat you to some Delos. You'll see what's up. So Alpha
that's
Beats.
That's a pretty good good deal.
It is. It's a good deal. It's worth the flight to come here.
Absolutely.
But Alpha Beats is available now on Steam. What's the price of it?
The price is, it's ordinarily $8, but for the next 4 days, it's on its release sale, and so you can get it for less than $5.
Holy shit, people, buy that shit now.
Yeah, seriously.
$5. Buy it. You got...
Well, I will be forcibly tweeting people today. Well, the fuck, I know you got $5. You got paid.
Well, the show won't release until tomorrow, so you have the weekend to buy this shit. So go do it. And Mike, again, thank you so much for joining us. It has been a pleasure talking with you. Mike, you were awesome enough to hook
likewise.
Us up with some songs from the soundtrack to play at the end of the show so people could stay tuned to check that out after the rest of our bullshittery that has to go on. So, thanks again so much for joining us.
Thanks for giving me something to do that doesn't involve talking to Joe. I appreciate that.
All right. And, thank you, guys. It's been fun.
All right. Have a good one, Mike.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you too.
Hey, real quick, speaking of Rocket League, they have already passed over 1 million unique players on the Xbox One.
Yeah, that was last week.
So.
You dumb bitch.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it's insane. I think it is the clear hit that everyone knew it was going to be.
I like how they even said, well, it's actually kind of a bummer because people were projecting it to sell more. And I'm like, dude, that's still a million users. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Ah, man. Anyway, I think we should move on to some of the shit that we got to cover this week.
Dick jokes.
Close. We have some games to give away, which is always fun. Let's see. We already talked about Don't Die, Mr. Robot last week, so we could start off with that game. We sent out a couple of tweets asking people to send us in some kind of fruit story or joke or just something fruit related, because the whole point in Don't Die, Mr. Robot is to pick up some fruit. And we had two codes to give away, and go figure, we got two people to email us. So first off, congrats to both of you.
Are you going to read all the emails?
Yes, we always read all the email.
No. I meant, are you going to read all? No. Do you have a water?
Yes, I have two waters.
Yeah, I care about you, Joe. That's all.
The first email is from Enrique Herrera. He says, this happens in real life. Back when I attended high school, in Spanish class, we were learning about the Spanish pronunciations of fruits and vegetables. So our teacher went around giving each one of us different food items. She had given me a kiwi fruit. I've seen these before sliced, and I've had them prepared that way. So I ate the fruit, and she asked where it was. I found it strange she even asked, because we were given permission to eat them. I told her I'd already eaten it. Then she stated, then where is the skin of the kiwi fruit? I replied saying I thought it was edible too, like an apple, and the class laughed in uproar. She couldn't help but laugh as well. That was a bit embarrassing, but funny regardless. Thanks for the chance, Enrique. Enrique.
No, I may or may not have, bit into a kiwi fruit before, so.
Well, if it was Ashley, she might be dead right now.
Oh, yeah, she's like crazy.
I've never bitten into Ashley.
She's like crazy allergic though, isn't she?
Yeah. So yeah, that was a great story, and you are definitely getting yourself a copy of Don't Die, Mr. Robot for the PS4 and the Vita. The second entry into this is from Daniel N, and we're going to hear a bit from him this week. His email says, you ever try to make one of those healthy smoothies? You know, the ones that have those nasty veggies mixed in. They're supposed to be masked by the fruit that you put in. You're not supposed to notice there are even veggies in the smoothie. Well, one time I tried making a smoothie that had broccoli, kale, and celery along with pineapple, banana, orange. And let me tell you, it did not taste good at all. It tasted like liquid celery, and that, my friends, did not leave a good taste in your mouth at all. Well, I bet you a free copy of Don't Die, Mr. Robot for the PS4 and the Vita tastes a little bit better than liquid celery.
If he'd stuck to just the kale and then the fruits, he'd have been okay. But yeah, celery and broccoli don't play well with sweet.
Our next giveaway, I'm actually going to do a quick review of it first. It's Tokitori 2 Plus for the PlayStation 4. It released February 23rd for $14.99. It was on sale for $11.99. It still might be. I know we got the game to review a little bit late, so I'm not sure if the sale's still going on. It might be. So go ahead, check it out if it is. It was developed and published by Two Tribes. The original Tokitori was out on the Wii, I believe. And then Tokitori 2 has hit a variety of platforms. It's making its PS4 debut. It is a basically a puzzler platformer where you control a cute little yellow chick as you have to try to make it through different stages. There are only two real commands that you can do in the game aside from walking. One is to chirp, and one is to do a stomp. And you can use those to either call different animals to you or scare them away or make them move. And it's all about using those abilities to make animals move the way you need them to so that you can get through levels. Whether it's getting crabs to move with the shell on their back so you can cross platforms, or if it's to make different animals like eat other animals and then they fill up with air and you make them blow it at you so it's a bubble and it lifts you up because you can't jump. It's fun, fun platforming game, puzzle platformer. If you haven't heard of the Tokitori series, you're probably living under a rock. It is absolutely worth checking out and picking up, especially if you've never played the series before. It is not a hardcore action game. It is a relaxing game with some fun, light puzzle platforming in there, so buy it. And if you didn't want to buy it, you could email us, because we wanted you people to send us a bird-related story or jokes or something, and you can get a free copy of the game. We had two codes to give. We got two emails. Our first one is from Johan. Question, what do you give a sick bird?
I don't know, Joe. What do you give them?
Tweetment.
God fucking damn it.
Write said, this one down.
He said he can't hurt to include an extra one. The girl says, one of my ex-boyfriends sounded like an owl. The boy says, who? So, Johan, for those two fantastic, horrible jokes that we love, you're getting yourself a copy of Tokitori 2 on the PS4 from Two Tribes. And then our other entry is from, once again, Daniel N. Not so much a bird joke, but here's a sadistic story. Oh, God, I should have screened this. there was this
please
crow.
Don't be bird torture. Please don't be the bird torture.
I'm just, this is my first time going into this, so I don't know. Crow at my house that I believe had maliciously and purposefully had explosive diarrhea all over my car each and every morning. So this is what my sick and twisted mind decided how to return the favor. I went and bought a BB gun, waited for the bird to try and do its business on my car, and then bang, bang, kaboom. Chris, close your ears. Let's just say all that was left of this crow was a pile of bloodied feathers falling from the sky straight out of a John Woo movie. Revenge is sweet, isn't it? Laughs maniacally in the dark corner of the room. That's a lot of bird shit, though.
Well, no, here's the thing, though. I mean, he said BB gun. I was expecting, you know, you shoot it in the wing, it flies off, never comes back. He did not buy a BB gun. He bought a fucking airsoft rifle.
He bought a small cannon.
Yeah. Now, on the plus side, he better be glad that he did kill it, because it's a fact that crows can remember faces.
Oh, there
and
you go.
So if he had tortured it, it would have attacked him.
Oh, man. So if you were not one
Bird
of the two
matter.
People that just got a free copy of the game, make sure to jump onto PlayStation Network and pick up the game and buy it. Because Two Tribes actually announced that they're releasing one more game this fall called Rive, and then they're hanging it up. They've been around for 15 years, and they are releasing their final game. So
are they going to go, like, the reverse of what most of our indie developers do? They're gonna quit the business and go become like school teachers or accountants.
Who knows? But yeah, they said that they just feel like dinosaurs in the industry, so they're gonna hang it up after Rive in, I believe, September it's coming out. But
come on, Mike is still in the industry and he's like 85.
But a big thanks to Two Tribes for letting us check out the game, as well as giving us copies to give away. We have one more contest that we actually have to pick a winner for right here. We were lucky enough to have Ed of Uppercut Games on last week to talk to us about Submerged, and we have one extra copy of the game, and we sent a call out on Twitter to send us a flood-related story, and we have four entries, and one of you are about to get a free game. First one is from Jordan Phipps. Jordan writing back in, good to hear from you. He says, well, guys, I live in California, so I'm lucky to see any drizzle, let alone a flood. I deserve the game the most because it may be the only time I see water flowing that's not coming out of my Brita filter. Thanks, Jordan.
I wonder if he lives in Vegas.
He said California.
How did I miss that part?
I don't know.
How did you miss that part?
Because you're drunk.
Oh shit, dude. Well, I did take my muscle relaxer.
Oh, that's so true. I forgot that you were going to do that.
Oh, God, Potato, I do not need you headbutting the microphone right now. Oh, all right. Next email is from Daniel N., with his third appearance in our emails today. He says, I live in the rainiest city, and the house I grew up in had a terrible foundation. So every time it rained hard, which was 9 months out of the year, our downstairs basement would completely flood. So you could say that we were completely submerged in a couple inches of water. I had the not so fun task of using a carpet cleaner to suck up all the water in the basement. After hours of doing this, my feet always became wrinkled like raisins.
He must not live in Vegas.
Well, are there crows in Vegas?
There's no basements in Vegas.
All right, next email is from Cole Martin. She writes in, hey guys, a flood-related story is hard. I'm afraid of sounding like a downer. Where I live is actually really prone to flooding, and it's pretty much just a thing that happens regularly here. It's so common, in fact, that in 1988, the Army Corps of Engineers built a dam and created a man-made lake in an effort to control flooding caused by stormwaters. In the winter months, the lake is drained into the Big Sandy River, and in the spring, it's refilled by flood and stormwater. Despite the efforts to control floodwaters, most of the area is still in the flood zone, and the federal government has even stepped in with funding to physically raise entire towns above flood level. This is the best I've got without being depressing. Have a good show, guys.
Without being depressing.
And thanks to that information, I now know where you live.
You now have a stalker.
No, I ain't going there.
All right, final entrant is from John Beta. He writes in, well, about 6 years ago here in Washington State, we had a huge rainstorm. I lived at the bottom of a steep hill where all the rain gathered, and my house got flooded with about 14 inches of water, basically destroying everything, including my Xbox 360 and other systems. Over $9,000 in damages, which thank God was covered by insurance. Well, after all that, I decided to move to the top of the hill. No way am I letting that happen again. Man.
Earthquake.
Oh, so those are our four entrants. We have Jordan, who wants the game so he can actually see what water looks like. Daniel, who deals with basement floods. Cole, whose entire village floods regularly. And then John,
and
who lost thousands of dollars worth of stuff due to floods.
Shit. You guys can go first on this one.
Part of me is kind of leaning towards John because he's lost so much stuff. So even though we can't give him $9,000 worth of games, we could give him $20 worth.
That's
yeah, but didn't he say that his insurance covered it?
Yeah,
it was the
but
one that
it still sucks to lose that.
Well, yeah, but what the one guy's in it like all the time.
Call her town floods, but I don't know if she herself is regularly affected by it.
Oh, you know, this is where I really, now that I know the state, I want to start making jokes, but that would just be mean.
Now, do you guys have votes here?
I want to vote.
This is not compelling to listen to.
Well, yeah, but I also don't know what...
I'm going to vote for the flooding regularly because The first guy, their family was ready for it, and they vacuumed it out, and then the third guy, insurance paid for it, and he moved. But then you've got the other person who is stuck in a flood zone, even with the dam, it still rains all the damn time.
Right. Right.
Okay. So you guys are both voting for Cole there?
Yeah.
All right, Cole, looks like you are the winner. Sorry to John, I was pulling for you, but them's the breaks of voting, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I'm just going to go out and say it. I'm sorry you have to live in Kentucky.
Oh, God. I'm guessing that's Cole who lives in Kentucky.
Yeah, no, they mentioned the river and the year that the Army Corps of Engineers, and that's all it took.
Yeah, right. Well, we do have one more giveaway to announce. We were graciously given a number of codes for the game Pixel Hunter for the PlayStation Vita, which we will talk about shortly. We sent a call out on Twitter to send us an email and let us know why you want the game. We did that earlier today. We already have three entries, so I'm going to read those off quick. All three of the people are going to get a code. And then we still have some more to give out. So if you're listening to this and you want to check out Pixel Hunter for the Vita, just drop us an email at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com and you yourself could get a code as well. But these three these three people are already guaranteeing themselves a copy of the game. First one is from Daniel N. Once again, 4 for 4 on contest today, says, I want the game because I'm a pixel hunter and that I pay special attention to all the glorious pixelated detail in video games. From a strand of hair to the speck of dust, I have an eye for spotting peculiarities in rendered code. My favorite genre throws back to the good old 2D games with sprites. One of my all-time favorite games is Mike Tyson Punch-Out. You could almost feel the blood in punches running down your face when Iron Mike came in for that killer death blow. Yeah, he was a dick.
He was a dick.
Next email is once again from Enrique Herrera, so he's getting two games today as well. Says, good afternoon. I would love to win a copy of Pixel Hunters because I love difficult games that make me want to cry and burn my eyes out. I love how the main protagonist looks like a Mario clone, and considering that today is Mario Day, makes it all the more humorous. I've seen some videos around, and I'm entranced by the blocky Minecraft-like textures of the game. Love blasting my way through foes, constantly keeping a steady pace. Seems like a good gameplay style for me. And did I mention the cartoony music sounds good? All in all, I like games that are very tedious and they'll entertain me for hours on end despite the difficulty. Thanks for the chance, Enrique. Well, good news, Enrique. You are getting a copy of the game. Final email is from Alex Lee, who says simply, I want to win Pixel Hunter because I'm feeling pixelated and I want to eliminate some pixels. Hey, that's a good reason. We just asked why you want it, so fucking hey, you win the game. So look at that.
We just
gave away 3, 4, 8 games. 8.
I like how you counted there. 3, 4, 8.
I'm gonna. So yeah, we just gave away 8 game codes, and we still have a couple more copies of Pixel Hunter to give away. So once we do our review of that in a little bit, you can determine whether or not you want to send us an email. But I've talked a lot, and I'm going to let Pappy read off the last email that we got. That we had to get in because he sucks at video games.
No, we're good. All right, hold on a second. Let me whet my whistle.
Whet your whistle.
All right, so as discussed, We Are the Dwarves was too hard for me.
Wait. We Are the Dwarves, developed by Whale Rock, released February 26th for $14.99. Was that the one in Early Access? Or no, that was Kona.
Yeah, Kona was Early Access.
Which, by the way, Kona just hit Steam Early Access now as well, so check that out.
So anyhow.
We Are the Dwarves.
It was decided that I could not get past the second set of enemies after 30 minutes worth of trying, and it wasn't really worth me doing 7 hours of gameplay to talk about the first 20 minutes of the game. So I bought a copy for my friend and coworker Cameron, who was nice enough to play it and email us in a review. I guarantee this review is good because Joe Cam proofread it, said it's smarter than anything that I've ever said on the show.
I didn't proofread it. I skimmed the first page and said that it was better than you.
Yeah, so anyhow.
There were words in the email. It was like Zach style.
Dwarves in space. It doesn't happen often when this stout, hardy race takes to the stars, but We Are the Dwarves takes that leap. In this top-down, isometric, real-time tactical adventure, you take hold of three mighty beards on an adventure to save their race from a dying star. Crashed in a foreign world and split up, you are tasked with regrouping while trying to survive against hostile forces that you aren't quite sure why they are hostile. The story is difficult to follow. The opening has a slight issue where the music is only a decibel or two lower than the voice that is presenting the intro. Also, the voice of the narrative has a very thick accent and talks rather quickly. Going into the options, there didn't appear to be anything for subtitles, so I actually had to restart my game a couple times to get the bits and pieces to know what was going on. There is minimal story progression through the first few hours of the game, as each level is a presentation of a new tactic or ability given to the current dwarf you are controlling to get through. The story does start to catch up once your group has regrouped, but you have to wait a while for that to happen. Any background information is gathered in codex-like entries that you have to read separately. So there's the story.
Okay.
Gameplay is described as tactical strategy, and true to its name, you spend a lot of time sitting and thinking on your next move. Running and gunning in Diablo 3-type action in this game isn't really an option. Think Dragon Age Origins on the highest difficulty, where you have the option to pause the game, look around, and plan your next move. Once you've regrouped your team, the gameplay opens up even more when you now have to control three dwarves at the same time, positioning them correctly and making sure their abilities are all used in the correct order on the right targets. Stages are sprinkled with save points and these yellow stones that heal you when you click on them. And by the by, they heal the enemy too if you are around or if they are around you.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, character progression is done in the form of picking up resources around the map, which include resources you use to restore your armor and runes that you spend to enhance your abilities. Gameplay is very challenging. It likes to tease you with this setup that lets you think is very fast-paced hack and slash. However, when you charge in and find yourself getting dropped by three enemies in just a matter of seconds, you'll find yourself getting frustrated. The developers, though, have been very responsive with the community. The game is patched almost every day with fixes and tweaks. More recently, the developers have added a new lower difficulty option, which has helped to get over these hurdles. Excuse me. Granted,
there you
though,
go, Pappy.
Yeah, it actually wouldn't work for me. Granted, though, the lower difficulty has made the stages feel a little awkward when they are designed to be handled tactically, but you are able to stumble through. Adding to the false sense of security for those moments, new difficulty didn't quite balance enough. About halfway into the game, each stage feels more and more like a chore with very little reward. Controls is where We Are the Dwarves falls behind. The UI and controls are rather clunky and in the best of moments, unresponsive. If you are used to being a micro king, fast clicking and mouse movement actually ends up screwing you in the end when your dwarf is just running in circles and not attacking anything. The pause option here, though, just slows time, so you still need to think on your feet when assigning abilities to use or where to move. Presentation is a 50-50 split. Graphics-wise, for the limited resources that a green light picks up, the game is beautiful. The environments are great looking, and best of all, they actually look alien with colors to match the mood of the current task you're trying to overcome. Sadly, though, the voice acting is difficult to swallow. The dwarves are monotone, and a lot of the time sound like they're just Microsoft Sam with a thick Eastern European accent. Even in moments of excitement, you just get the Terminator with a beard. So, how does he feel about all this? We Are the Dwarves can be best described as slow. Gameplay is slow, and the story is even slower with the lack of any real emotion. The game feels like it is targeted to a very specific group of gamers, and if pull your teeth out, Dark Souls' frustratingly difficult gameplay, or slow stop-and-plan tactical combat is your cup of tea, then I would rate this game as a try it.
All right. Well, that kind of matches your original try it, so it
except
doesn't...
he actually beat the game.
So it's definitely, it sounds like a definite difficult game, but it is still in early access, so there's still time to work on all that stuff.
The cool thing is, like you state, the developers have been very responsive.
Which is awesome to hear. So that sounds like a pretty decent try it. If you're patient enough to deal with it, give it a go.
But yeah, like he said, though, in talking to him at work, it's very, if Dark Souls is your jam or, you know, the tactical stuff, definitely give it a try. If you are like me just save your time.
Yeah.
Go buy Alpha Beats.
Yeah. All right, well, we got a couple more games to tackle this week. The first one we will talk about is Pixel Hunter, which we just gave a couple of copies out. It is developed and published by Lemondo Entertainment, or Lemondo, one of those, released March 8th on the PlayStation Vita. It is surprisingly only $1.99, so even if you don't get a copy from us, that's a pretty nice price. It is a 2D platforming game with shooting in it. So it's kind of like a mix between Mario and Mega Man, where it has Mario-style platforming but Mega Man-style shooting. The story is basically you come home and all your weapons were stolen, so you got to go out and get your weapons back, Mega Man-style. There are 15 stages in the game, broken up into 5 worlds with 3 stages each. There is the requisite ice stage, the volcano stage, forest, there's a beach stage. It's 2 main stages, and then a 3rd stage where you platform through before you get to a boss that you have to beat the boss. You have 3 lives. You do have continues. If you don't continue, you can just restart from the beginning of the level, which I didn't realize. I thought it was... you run out of continues and it's game over. Continues are handled by the collectibles in the game. Enemies that you kill will routinely drop a piece of meat. You start the game with 500 meat. Every time that you run out of lives and you want to continue, it costs 100 meat. So basically you start the game with 5 continues, but you can earn more as you play through. You technically have 3 hits. Once you get hit, you lose your hat. You get hit again, you lose your hair. You get hit again, you die. But if you kill enemies, instead of dropping meat, there's a chance that they will drop either your hat or hair, depending on what your current health level is. As the one email stated, the graphics are very... Minecrafty pixelated stuff, like a 3D pixelated. It reminded me a lot of 3D Game Heroes on the PlayStation 3 in visual style. The platforming feels good. The controls could be a little bit touchy, especially on the ice stage. It is a difficult game, so you're not going to breeze through it. But again, for $1.99, it's an easy buy it recommendation. And if you don't want to buy it, just email us at the smlpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us why you want the game, and there's a good chance we're going to give you the game.
We have a decent amount of them, so yeah.
Yeah, we do.
All right.
Next game is Cell Damage HD, developed and published by Finish Line Games. It is releasing on the Xbox One March 11th, so it should be out by the time you're listening to this, for $8.99. It is already available on the PlayStation 4. Have either of you guys played Cell Damage back on the original Xbox, PS2, GameCube era?
I'm familiar with the style of it, but I never actually played it myself.
It is Twisted Metal-ish in that it's car combat. There's a handful of different racers, handful of different weapons. You blow the shit out of each other. They have like arena style modes where you got to just be the first one to get so many attacks or kills. There's also races where you can destroy the hell out of each other while racing. The HD upgrade, it looks really, really good, but some of the artwork is, I don't want to say sloppy, but it looks generic-ish. If that makes sense, like it looks crisp and clear and good, but it looks kind of fan arty.
Okay, well, yeah, but it was originally cel shaded and got like, yeah. I mean, it could have just been the way that they decided to do the up rendering or whatever.
Maybe. I don't know how the whole HD port was handled, but the game itself, if you played the original, you are going to want to own this because it is the same awesome game that you loved back in those days. I wish that there was like an online mode to it or something, but it's still, what's there is awesome. The fact that it's only $9 is awesome. If you've never played Cell Damage before, you might be a bit more on the fence. Since I have played it and I enjoy the series, I'm giving it a buy it recommendation. But if you've never played Cell Damage before, check it out before you buy it.
I mean, it's basically like a Vigilante 8-ish. Like,
yeah.
You kind of know what you're getting into going in.
But it's still, like, the game, for people who've played it before, they're going to love it. But that whole genre hasn't really aged as well as you might think from back then.
Yeah, I can see that.
But personally, if you've played it before, if you've played the Cell Damage games before, you should already have it pre-ordered. So it's fucking Cell Damage. What do you want?
Right.
Yeah, that's fair.
Next game is called Blast'em Bunnies. It is developed and published by No, released March 11th for $4.99, or there is a super mega bundle of the game with all the DLC and bonuses and everything else for $19.99. Pappy, you've played this, so give us your thoughts on it.
What game?
Blast'em Bunnies.
I don't know what that is. So, yeah, I'll be honest, I didn't put a whole lot of time in the game because I got really bored really quick, and that's just me being honest. It's a wave game. You're a bunny, and a bunch of other asshole bunnies are trying to steal all your carrots, so you've got a cannon in the middle of your carrot field, and you're shooting them. They come from the ground, the sky, even underground. They throw grenades, they fly at you, and you just shoot them with your cannon. And there's boxes that drop that you can get temporary upgrades, like launching rutabagas or shooting watermelon seeds. So it's like a machine gun. And then every time you end a bunny's life or whatever, there's coins. You shoot the coins to buy power ups. My problem with the game is that I played 3 playthroughs on normal and got to like wave 10, 13, stuff like that. And after 3 full playthroughs, I still only had 2,100 coins, and the first upgrade is 10,000 coins. So it's a game, if you like playing a defense game, like kind of like a tower defense thing, and you don't mind just going 360, shooting everything in sight, you're going to enjoy it. It's just a really simple game. I personally was just like, I don't even want to spend the hour required to get to the leveling process.
I think I put a significant amount of time in more than you did. I didn't have as hard of a time getting into it. Then again, I was able, like, one of the first upgrades I did was to buy the heat-seeking parsnips. That's funny. Jesus. That's how I describe
like the clever, like, how all the vegetables and stuff were types of weapons. And,
yeah, there are 4 different styles of weapons. There's a laser weapon. There is the standard rifle weapon. There's more of a cannon style weapon. And then there's the machine gun style weapon that you mentioned with the watermelon. Each one has its own, like, 3 or 4 different ammo types that have different abilities. Each weapon can also be upgraded to be more powerful or have extra barrels to make it shoot better. When you start the game out, it is very, very slow paced. It helps to accomplish, like, the missions in the game.
Yeah, that was the other problem, is the numbers that told me to hit with the missions were, like, I never got to those. Because, like, the one was hit, like, 25 runners. And then it didn't give me a runner at all until the 3rd playthrough. Like,
yeah,
okay.
I could... I know, like, the one mission I have to do is, like, 200 blockers, which are the fuckers with the shield, and I rarely see them. So it's been 3 days now, and I still have, like, 90 to go. If you get the Super Mega Bundle with all the DLC, it does include coin multipliers. Now, because we've had it pre-release, and the game is a pre-order deal, those items are not active for us, so I can't really judge it with those bonuses to see if the $20 is worth it. I would imagine, like, if you really enjoy the game, basically the bundle gives you those coin bonuses, which, from what I've read in the game, they stack. So you would get, like, a times 100 coin bonus.
And that's actually a really good fix for this the slowness issue.
Yeah. I just don't know, like, the whole $20 worth. The rest of the DLC is, like, skins for the bunnies, like ninja bunnies, clown bunnies, zombie bunnies. There's also different arenas instead of having the same backyard, look and song. So basing it on the $5 package, since I can't really judge the $20 package with what's included, there is so many tiny little things about the game that irritate me. Like the sound that plays when the game is loading or saving, it just irritates me. The sound the bunny makes at the end of a game where it's like, that irritates me.
That got on my, okay, I'm not the only one. That got, because it got stuck when the game was loading.
Yeah.
It got, so for like a minute and a half solid.
Yeah. Being forced into using different weapons when they drop and you inadvertently shoot one, that irritates me. I guess until I can upgrade the other weapons, since I've basically just focused on upgrading what I use as default. But I can't stop playing it.
I give it a try. It's one of those games where you're going to pick it up and enjoy it, or you're going to pick it up and be like, eh.
Yeah, I will fully agree.
Deny it. It's a pretty little game, and it does have some substance to it. If like Joe, you can get to it.
Yeah, it's a first-person shooter in an arena, circular, wave-based kind of game. I have made to like level 40 something already, so I'm a little bit better than Pappy's been doing. As more enemies show up, it can get definitely a lot more frustrating, because you'll be shooting enemies in front of you and enemies will be popping up behind you, and then it'll give you like a fucking laser weapon that sucks that you just don't want, and you die because of that. But again, with all the issues and gripes that I have with it, I can't stop playing it. Even Ashley, when she was watching me play it, she's like, "You have to review this." I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like, "I don't think it looks that good." I'm like, "Yeah, but I can't stop playing it. It's just fun and enjoyable to just zone out and shoot bunnies for 15 minutes, a half hour at a stretch." So I'm definitely going to give it the $4.99 package a try. I can't really judge the full bundle because it's not unlocked to us, but if you enjoy him enough, you would want extra bunny skins. So if you're, I think $5 is a lot easier to recommend than the $20 bundle. But again, I can't judge the $20 bundle.
Yeah, but you're basically your little bunny foo foo and you're an asshole.
Yeah.
So
well, everyone else are assholes. You're just trying
bunny foo foo hopping through the forest.
Yeah, shooting all
the
field mice in the face.
Blast, blast. Blast those motherfuckers down.
Hi, Chris, how's it going?
Next game is Tetraminos, developed by Sanuk Games, published by Big Ben Interactive. It released March 8th this week for $9.99. It is a Tetris-like game. It doesn't have the official Tetris license, so that they can have some liberties with the game. Tetris is known for having seven shapes. This game has a handful more, where it can have a single block, it can have a two-piece block. Oh, potato, you goddamn cat. She's just jumping on the desk trying to irritate the shit out of me.
It's working.
Oh, it is very much working. It could have the single block, it could have two-piece blocks, a three-piece corner-style block. It can even have a five-piece plus block, which is crazy as hell. Somebody challenged my Tetris prowess.
Who is that?
Somebody on Shiz's streams. I don't want to name names, but we played Rocket League with him. So, Pappy,
that kind of narrows it down, yeah.
Yeah, that might tip you in as to who it was and what kind of accent he has. But Shiz was playing the game. Shiz was playing the game, and I was talking shit because that's what I do when I watch Shiz play a game. So because it's Tetris, and I don't fuck around when it comes to Tetris. And the gentleman in the chat was saying that, oh, well, this game has harder controls and it's not as responsive and the pieces are harder to use and you can't do things like T-spins and you can't move the pieces as fast. He's like, you can't really say anything or judge him until you could beat level 20 on challenge mode, or you can get 300,000 points on endless mode.
So after you did both of those in 15 minutes, then what?
Well, on my first, the first thing I did when I got the game was I fired up challenge mode and I got to level 18. I was like, all right, I'm getting a feel for it. The controls, I can see what they mean by they're not as responsive. The thing with the controls is you cannot move the piece or turn the piece until it appears. But the little shadow,
the shadow
at the bottom appears like half a second before the piece materializes. So you have to wait like half a second between when you think the piece is there before you can move it and turn it and anything like that. The pieces do stick quicker than any normal Tetris games, but to me that's just a little bit of an extra challenge because, again, I am a Tetris god. After my first run through and hitting level 18 in challenge mode, I'm like, okay, now to really do this. Chris came out, what stage was I on when you came? Like 20 something? Like 25, 26?
I don't even remember.
Mid-20s probably. I shared a picture on Xbox Live when I completed level 50
in competitive mode.
In challenge mode, where the final achievement for challenge mode is level 20, which is why I was told I can't talk until I beat level 20. I completed level 50 and I took a screenshot of my blocks basically like two rows high, if that. And then I ended the game because I was tired of being so fucking good at the game.
It's just really hard being me, you know, like I'm just so good. And
I checked the leaderboard. I am ranked number 2 worldwide on challenge mode. And if I would have had another hour or so, I might be number 1 because number 1 made it up to level 102.
Yeah, you just got bored.
I didn't want to keep playing challenge mode.
So did you send this to
No, actually, I he's not one of my friends on Xbox, so
you gotta wait.
I couldn't really tell him. I told Chiz to pass on the message, but I don't know if he will or not. But and then I figured, well, I did that. I might as well give Endless Mode a try. And I was like, oh, well, you can't talk until you hit 300,000. So I think I lost at 550.
550,000.
Yeah.
But what this kid doesn't know is that back when Tetris on the Game Boy was a thing, it would be me and Joe versus 6, and I was only there to help clear.
This was on the DS, not the Game Boy. Big difference. Okay, Tetris and DS.
Still, I it was only 2-on-6 because you kept me around to clear some of the small stuff while you focused on sending blocks of 4 continually.
Yeah, you were the distraction.
Yeah,
because I have done 7-on-1, and I have won games of 7-on-1.
Yeah,
funny.
But yeah, endless mode. I unfortunately am not in the top 10 worldwide, because some people have like 2 million score on there. I think if the leaderboard extended further, I'd probably be top 15.
The funny thing is, it's just that. Really, you're not top 10 because you only played for a little bit.
I've only played Endless Mode, I think, 3 times.
Yeah. So, anyhow, what other games we got?
Well, there's also a puzzle mode in Tetrominos where there are 50 different stages, and you have to complete the blue pieces in a certain number of turns to earn 3 stars. I've only went through about 10 stages of that so far. It is a really, really cool addition. You need to make sure that you're using the pieces properly, turning them, twisting them to get them in. They give you exactly the pieces you need to get 3 stars. If you don't get 3 stars, then you just get random blocks until your 30 turns are up. And then you get however many stars you've earned. One of the achievements is to get 3 stars on all 50, which is what I'm going to work on next, because the only achievements I have left in the game are the puzzle mode achievements, which, face it, I'm going to complete it.
Shiz's review of Tetraminos is, I want my money back.
Well, that's because he sucks.
And you're just like, yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. I just wish it were harder.
It's Tetris. For me, it's Tetris. It is a fun little twist because of not being exactly Tetris, so it can have a couple of liberties. My biggest gripe with the game is in endless mode, whenever you score, there's a sound effect that goes as your score goes up, and it is loud and grating and annoying, and I wish I could turn just that sound off. Other than that, I fucking love the game because it's a Tetris-ish game. It has endless mode. It has challenge mode that gets harder as you go. It has puzzles. I wish it had online, but again, it's only $10. And I think it's better than Tetris Ultimate that Ubisoft put out, because that was just a mess.
Yeah.
So for me, if you're a Tetris fan, buy it. If you're Shiz, you fucking suck at puzzle games. So, next game is Teslagrad by Rain. It is developed and published by Rain Games. Releases March 9th. For $14.99. It was originally on the PlayStation. It is a Metroidvania-style game, basically with no combat. So it is all puzzle and exploration-based, but there are upgrades as you go through, which allow you to go back through previous areas, explore new areas with your abilities, finding different collectibles through the game. The art style in the game is gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous game. The story sees a little boy kind of in like a wartime era, like Teslagrad, so obviously makes you think of Nikolai Tesla. There is a lot of electromagnetism in the game. The different power-ups in the game, like you get a robe that allows you to use either positive or negative charge to either levitate in areas depending on the magnetic charge, or stick to areas. It's basically a lot of magnetism style puzzles in the game, and either using to attract or repel in order to make special jumps or get through certain areas. Like you can punch to change the polarity of certain obstacles in the game. There is a dash move that allows you to kind of do a brief teleport to like go through electrical barriers or something. The game is just incredibly gorgeous and an awesome, awesome playthrough. I am near the end of the game. There is a vertical scrolling area with a lot of electrical barriers that I am just getting my ass kicked on. But after I looked at the map for it to see what collectibles I've missed along the way, I see that it's very near the end, so I shouldn't have too much time left in the game. But I can confidently say that it is a buy it.
Cool. Hey, you know that free game, The Crimes and Punishment of Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah.
You ever play
I haven't
it?
Installed it yet.
I haven't played it.
I played it.
And?
Yeah, and?
And it's really fun with way too many ideas shoved into it. Like, you're Sherlock Holmes, right? You're fucking Sherlock Holmes. It's like, you go, you interview somebody, you figure it out. Like, it seems so easy to me that you could just make a Sherlock version of, it was a PS3 game.
Heavy Rain?
No, after that. Fuck me sideways. Actually, it was for every, I think it came out for everything, but it was one where you interviewed people when you got to judge if they were
LA
lying
Noir.
Or not. Thank you. Yeah, I'm thinking to myself, oh, just LA Noir, but Sherlock Holmes. Like, you win, no matter what. Like, it's still a fun game, but they cram in so much stuff. Like, okay, you talk to her, now stare at her, and figure stuff out based on what she's wearing and this and that. Now say things, and then... Oh, now you smell something. Now you have to piece together an image in your mind by manipulating this wireframe picture and make it look like a picture. Oh, now you see this thing, and now you have to, you know. So it's like, rather than just being a super genius Sherlock Holmes, everything becomes a mini game. Like, everything that you do becomes a fucking mini game in order to uncover the mystery. and it gets a little frustrating. So, I played through it for a little while, and I had fun. I got to the police station and interviewing a subject and stuff. So, if the LA Noir style stuff is your kind of jam, then it's definitely there for you. And you know, it's free right now. So, but it's not. It is too many ideas, and you know, fucking. You even have to unlock outfits and shit. Just because.
Oh, no, unlockable outfits. How dare they?
I just feel like the developers are like, you know what? Nothing is off the table. And by the time they were done, everything was in the game. That's what I mean by that.
I did play one of the Sherlock games on the 360, and I had a lot of fun with that, but I haven't played this one yet.
I just like the fact that I can actually dress up Sherlock Holmes in a little sailor boy outfit.
Nice.
I feel like he would actually want that.
All right, well, I have two more games to go over because this was it's a huge week. We only did one show this week, so it's all lumped into one episode.
I just feel bad that we could have given Chris something to say.
Chris, do you have anything to say?
You guys are pretty much covering everything, so.
Chris, I miss you.
Well, I know we could chat about a little bit of news after these last two games, because I'm sure there's a couple of things.
When was the last time we talked about news?
I don't know. 1943.
There's a lot of stuff that's been going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we stopped talking about game news.
I do need to cover these last two, though. First up is Assault Android Cactus, developed by Witchbeam, released March 8th on the PS4. We did an interview with Sonata of Witchbeam a couple of months ago. That was when Zach and I interviewed him. And it is a twin stick, kind of bullet hellish style shooter that originally released on Steam. It unfortunately lost in the whole contest to pick the PlayStation Plus free game of the month. It lost out to Broforce, which hilariously everybody's pissed about. Because it's
weird because Broforce is awesome.
It should have gone to Assault Android Cactus or Action Hank.
All right, here's the thing though, they voted on it. The majority of people voted for one game.
Yeah,
you can't be pissed when you voted.
And everybody else online is like, "Ah, oh, man, freaking Broforce, blah blah blah."
Yeah, well, if they didn't vote, then they don't get to complain, just like voting for politicians.
Yeah, but they did vote, which is what
okay.
The
well, then
is.
I just don't care.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, Assault Android Cactus. If you heard us talk about it all those episodes ago, it's basically the same game we talked about back on Steam, now available on the PS4. I have continually bugged them to bring it to Xbox, but it looks like it's still not going to happen, although I will keep trying. If you only have a PS4, you owe it to yourself to pick this game up. It is fantastic. It is worth every penny, and hook up, just support awesome developers. So, yeah, go listen to our old episode with that interview. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but...
7.
I think 120-something, 122 maybe. I don't know.
Oh, so like 3 months ago.
Final game to talk about is called Magnets Fully Charged, developed and published by Total Monkery. Releases March 11th for $14.99 on Xbox One. Not sure if it's on anything else. Pappy, did you play this one, or was it only... I don't remember anymore.
Which one?
Magnets Fully Charged.
No, God, no. I thought that's what you said. I'm like, I just watched the playthrough video like before we started recording.
All right. It is a kind of puzzle action game. It's top-down view. You are a robot who has control of magnetism and electricity-ish. You need to basically use your electrical field to... attack little tiny robots that are trying to destroy other stuff. You hold the trigger and you kind of walk away to draw a circle. It's like drawing a circle in paint, where you start in one area and then you move the mouse diagonally and it makes a bigger circle. But you're doing that with your robot. You have to use it once to stun the little robots, do it again to destroy them, and they turn into a little piece of yellow scrap metal. And you then deposit that scrap into some kind of little counter thing. And when you deposit so much, it gives you whatever item you need to complete an electrical circuit to put up barricades or unlock fences or whatever else you need to do. It is a novel game. There's like the visuals don't really impress me too much, but the game is fun to play. There's how many stages are? I think there's 4 or 5 different worlds in the game. Each has probably like 6 or 7 stages to go through, boss battles. It can get frustrating because it feels like no matter what you do, you're just getting surrounded by these little fucking robots and you're just outnumbered. And no matter how much you're dropping these little electrical fields, things are still getting through and zapping you. But it's worth checking out. Give it a try. Watch someone stream it. It's worth checking out at the very least. So I'll give that one a try.
Goddamn tiny robots.
Seriously, goddamn tiny robots.
So here's a fun fact. Apparently, muscle relaxers gives me the attention span of a fucking flea.
So good thing you took them.
What?
Exactly. Rumors have been coming out about the final two characters for Killer Instinct.
Chris. Oh, yeah.
One is a twin for Maya, her twin sister. And then the other is apparently General Ram of Gears of War.
Which, I mean, I could see it. I could definitely see it happening.
How's that make you feel?
I like some of the people that they're doing. I like that they're doing the cameos for season 3, but I wish they would kind of like just back off a little bit. Like, just I think they have enough.
Well, this will be three cameos. It'll be General Ram, Rash, and then Arbiter.
Right, but I think it would have been fine with like 2 ops.
Who else would they put in?
I mean, you could put in a bunch of different stuff. They could easily put in, like, if they wanted to get weird, they could put in, like, Busy. They could put in,
Well, you just said that they already have enough guests.
Right, we're right.
You just mentioned another guest.
You asked me who else would they put in. I answered.
Okay, as opposed to more guests, who would they do? Because they pretty much have the entire original cast in now.
Sure, they could make some more original ones, because some of the original ones that they did in season 2, in my opinion, are actually some of the best characters that they ever put in the franchise.
You just want new, like, yeah, like characters who didn't exist before right now.
Yeah, because I think Hisoku is like a fantastic character, like overall, and that was completely like an original like being, you know, there was no concepts of that character before Killer Instinct season 2 even happened. So I was just kind of like, I was kind of bummed to see that the majority of the stuff that's going on, because right now it's Tusk, the copy of Maya, like the clone of Maya. Which is that going to be a different moveset, or is it just like
I have no idea?
Or is it like close enough?
I've kinda only like seen a screenshot and no details, because again, it's just a leak and a alleged rumor.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but between like Arbiter and Rash, Husk, who else?
Arbiter.
The Arbiter thing is cool. I mean, like, and don't get me wrong, like, how they're incorporating the characters into the game is pretty cool. Because with Arbiter, like, you know, they're taking the approach as if you're using a controller and you're already used to the controls of Halo. So, like, your right trigger, which would normally be your heavy kick, That's what you use to shoot your gun.
See, that's actually really, really cool.
Yeah, and then, like, your heavy punch, which is right bumper, or I'm sorry, left bumper. Is it normally left bumper?
I don't heavy know.
I think the normal button that you would use to throw grenades in Halo,
yeah,
they have that set. I think it's like triple punch.
That's cool.
That's what it is in the move set to throw his grenades, because that's what you would use in Halo. So like they're doing this like interesting like crossover stuff to try and tie in the original game and the original design, which I think is interesting. But like I said, I just kind of wish they would start creating some more interesting, like unique characters, because they did a really good job with it with the other things. So,
yeah. The other season 3 characters are Rash, Tusk, Kim Woo, and Gargos.
Gargos.
Yeah. And then
wait. Yeah, like the boss from
Killer Instinct 2.
Gyarados?
It's like Gyarados. Pretty much. He's got like what? Like he's like 3. You're so, wow, shit. They are putting him in. It's interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're bringing a lot of characters back. They've already made a bunch of new ones. I think Season 3 is their time to get kind of crazy with some crossovers. Maybe Season 4, they'll focus more on originals, or maybe from now on it's just going to be like Microsoft Smash Brothers.
Dude, hey, if Killer Instinct becomes Microsoft Smash Brothers, I'm okay with that. Because
I'd be down.
I don't know when the last time you guys have actually picked up Killer Instinct, but they have been making some interesting changes to it where they're making it slightly more accessible to certain people.
I know they did a lot of auto combo stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've already spoken of my hatred for Killer Instinct, and I don't think I'm ready yet to give it another shot.
It's because you're a dumb bitch.
I mean, it's definitely unique.
I'm a dumb bitch.
It's a game that you definitely have to go through and like learn. You can't just kind of like pick it up and just hope for the best.
Yeah, and I think that's what I mean. All of my fond memories of fighting games were kind of just figuring out a couple of moves and then trying to beat Joe.
I would give it another shot, Pappy, because the changes they made to combos make it a lot easier for new people to get into it.
Well, let me know when it's just like Marvel Capcom 2.
They're never going to have three people.
That game. Yeah.
Okay, let me know when the gameplay is just as crazy as Marvel Capcom.
Again, give it a try. It's still a free game, so you can still play it.
True.
Free game.
And then there's also talk of a new mode called Shadow Lords, which it looks like there's zero info. Again, this is just a leak that came out like yesterday. Mm-hmm. The only screenshot is like it shows the world, like Earth, the planet. And a lot of people think it might be like a global war kind of thing, like the global factions thing in Mortal Kombat.
In Mortal Kombat, yeah, I can see that.
But who knows? We won't know until either they confirm some of this info or until March 29th when Season 3 releases.
I know, it's so far away.
There's some other news that came out this past week. This is bad news. Microsoft announced that they are canceling Fable Legends, which has been in development for years now, and they are shutting down Lionhead Studios, the makers of all things Fable. And then lost in the shuffle of the whole Lionhead news is the fact that our friends at Press Play are getting shut down and Project Knoxville is now dead.
Which, yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
Which what? Fucking yeah. Sucks.
Why?
Because I don't know.
that doesn't answer my question, Joe.
There are no answers.
Yeah, they didn't really go into detail with it.
I hope it's because like Microsoft bought them out, and now they're not allowed to talk about it.
No, they already owned Press Play. Press Play was a Microsoft studio.
It was a Microsoft studio,
and they are now getting shut down. And unfortunately, Project Knoxville is ending. So those few times,
you think maybe they could take the game with them.
I don't know.
Man, that was just too cool of an idea to give up on, man. Oh man,
It's a major bummer.
I tell my eye, dude.
Our best wishes go out to Timo, who was a guest on our show and graciously allowed us to play Project Knoxville with him. And the whole team at Press Play, everyone at Lionhead, I know Sony Europe is already going to be hosting a job fair in the UK like next week to try and get some Lionhead members on board, which, hey, more power to them. Hopefully, whoever Microsoft doesn't relocate in company gets a job as soon as possible. But
and I really hope another studio takes a chance on Project Knoxville, man. That was...
Yeah, that is a really neat game.
Yeah, just very neat game. It's can't all be good news, sadly, on our show, but this is some shitty news to hear because they were awesome enough to be a part of our show and invite us into their game testing, and it just sucks to see it end. Which, is this our fault?
No.
I mean, we've had so many people leave Harmonix because of us.
Yeah, no. We get people different jobs. We don't shut down studios.
Well, these people might be getting new jobs elsewhere. I mean, we just did an interview with Rad Dragon, and they're already closing up shop.
Don't you email my bullshit. I deal with that stuff all goddamn day at work. Oh, well, technically, no. We don't get studios shut down. We just occasionally interview people who find bigger and better things.
And the timing may or may not have something to do with them being on our show.
It has nothing to do with that being on our show.
So we are the studio killers at SML.
Oh, yeah, that's a really great way to get people to fucking want to get. Why? What's your game like?
We're joking. We're joking.
About having to shut down next week.
But yeah, seriously, all our best wishes go out to Timo and everyone at Press Play and Lionhead. I hope you guys all land on your feet soon. It's shitty news to hear of studios getting shut down.
Especially good ones.
Yeah. Like Press Play. Lionhead.
But they've done some stuff. They've done things.
Years ago, they did some good stuff.
What other news do we have?
Well, there's another company that we need to talk about.
Okay.
Skate.
So there's going to be another company taking over the manufacturing. They're going to do a relaunch in the fall.
Well, not an official relaunch, but kind
what?
Of a. I guess we'll just. Mad Catz has been in trouble financially for a while, which was never good for Harmonix because they were partnered with Mad Catz for Rock Band 4. And they announced that they are going to be partnering up with PDP to create new hardware for the game.
I'll be honest, Mad Catz doesn't really have the best reputation.
PDP doesn't either, yeah.
But it's a new opportunity. The word right now is that, as Chris said, they're looking at a soft, unofficial relaunch of the game this fall. They're still going to be supporting it through the next few months. But this fall, when new hardware is available, they're looking at doing a big update in the fall to kind of treat it as like a whole new relaunch. I think it would be cool if they just like threw together another 50-song pack and sold it on a download code or disc or something and just made it Rock Band 4.5 or something. And because I don't know, everyone has had trouble with the drums from Mad Catz, and hopefully PDP could get a new set of drums out that is better.
That works.
We've had a big problem with the drugs from Mad Catz. They're just not powerful enough.
I love the guitar. The Rock Band 4 guitar is incredible.
I agree.
But the drums have been disappointing, so hopefully things work out with PDP and Rock Band 4 turns it around and starts getting some more sales and people are happier and bitching less. Although when it comes to Rock Band DLC, everybody's going to bitch forever.
So on non-game news, how many copies do you think KMFDM needs to print for their new LP vinyl for Record Store Day?
They're only doing 1,000.
Listen, there's some really interesting stuff on there, and I'm very upset.
Did you
I went through it. I'm trying to remember some of the stuff that I saw.
Dude, this year has me legit excited and sad that I have to shovel money away like a hoarder.
Dude, if I wasn't doing this, move and trying to figure all that stuff out, I would be much more inclined of spending a lot more money on stuff this year. Yeah, because there's some so really good, really interesting stuff.
And I know that the ones that I mentioned that I want to get are probably like super limited runs, like the KMFDM one. You know, it's like, well, not a whole lot of people are big into them anymore. Yeah, but the ones who are. They're the ones who will be in the front of the fucking line for record store day.
Yeah, so you know,
they're the ones camping out.
Pappy, if you see a spare copy of that KMFDM record, buy it for me.
Yeah, I traditionally get in line for ZA Records 1 hour prior to an opening, and I'm usually like 100th in line.
So if you see two copies of KMFDM...
That I can't do. They only one copy per
Yeah, you use one copy
per stuff. And that's the cool thing about Record Store Day is no one's a dick about it. I've never seen anyone told at the register, hey, man. Now, here it's great. In Vegas, like, I guess maybe it's just this record store is so cool and so chill, no one wants to be banned from it.
Well, so, then I guess I'm going to have to try getting the Gallery of Sound on Record Store Day and hope beyond hope that they actually get it.
I'm telling you, like, you want to get there an hour early.
Yeah.
At least.
Bring
when
chair.
Is Record Store Day?
April 16th, I think.
Okay, so
like
I have
that.
Time.
Yeah, yeah. Suck aside $50.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't well, find
I don't think
I can't
that EP will
list.
Be $50.
There it is. UK. Well, oh, that's a UK.
It's hard to walk out with A. Well, just go to Facebook. I fucking tagged you.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, so something not to do with video games at all, ladies and gentlemen, is Record Store Day, and I love it. I stand in line for it.
I guess the last little tidbit of news I have is if anyone still hasn't picked up Ori and the Blind Forest, available, I believe starting right now, is the definitive edition of Ori and the Blind Forest on the Xbox One. The Windows 10 and Steam releases are coming, I believe, next month, but the game remains at $20. It adds new area, new abilities, it adds backtracking and fast travel support. For people who already have Ori and the Blind Forest, this is not DLC. It is an entirely separate new release, but if you are an existing owner, instead of $20, you get it for $5.
That's cool.
Which is fucking awesome, and gives me another reason to play through Ori and the Blind Forest again.
Cool.
But aside from that, I think we talked about everything. We have two more games to talk about next week. Aside from that,
I get to talk about one of them. Yay.
Kind of.
But also, next week I'll finish my complete playthrough of Layers of Fear, the full edition, so I can talk about that a little bit.
And then on next Thursday for our show, we are anticipating to hopefully have Bob Baffy join us, as well
as getting his sound alike,
as well as David Sterling. I got to double check with them to make sure that they're on board, but
it's gonna be really hard to tell them apart.
I can't wait, but yeah. we're coming up. We're over 2 hours, so I think it's about time to end this.
Take a fork in it,
fucking thing.
Yeah. We're done.
Music this week obviously is from Alpha Beats. I don't know what all songs he sent me. I see Big Giant Circles and Disaster Piece, but I can't tell what the third one is.
Can I pimp something out? I know we talked about it already a little bit, but Chronicles of Time compilation, there's a shit ton of people on it. It's huge.
You know we played it like every other week, right?
Yeah, that's for the rest of the year for our after show music.
All right. I'm just
Yeah, we have played that a number of times.
Well, the question is, what's the name of the track that you're on, Chris?
I am literally, so the track that I am on is the first track on the first disc.
Yeah, we played that one already, too.
I am a fan of Fares. I did drums on
it. Is it fair to say that everything's downhill from there?
I am currently working on another compilation with a bunch of other artists that is strictly Nintendo 64.
Oh God!
Songs.
Nothing but 007.
listen, we may end up spanning every game because I looked at a bunch of the songs that were already claimed for the compilation, and there's a lot already claimed. Like a ton, because there's people working them into like medleys and stuff like that. So there's going to be a lot of stuff. And
now I want to bring up the list of
who's doing Quest 64.
I'm not allowed to.
Does that mean someone's actually doing Quest 64?
Let me just say that I know someone that's doing Blast Corps.
Okay, but is somebody doing Quest 64?
Well, here you go. 388 official releases, 85 region locked to Japan, 50 to North America, and 40 Europe. So there's a lot of games.
Yeah.
So I don't think all of them is quite realistic. I don't know that anyone's like, hey, I'm doing Blues Brothers 2000 on the 64.
Well, I mean, the other thing that you have to take into consideration is you can't count the games that only had licensed music, like the Tony Hawk's, and because obviously I had Tony Hawk on 64, and I really, really contemplated that this could be the unveiling of Tony Rock and the Pro Skaters. because obviously Nintendo 64 had the first Tony Hawk on it, which had one of the best soundtracks. So we'll see. I don't know, because here's the concept, and I ran this past the members of the cover band that I work with. I told them, I'm like, listen, I have this idea. I just want to do like a bunch of pop punk songs that were like in popular video games. And they're open to the idea. so this could become a send it off to MAGFest thing, because obviously we'll be able to work the sets into all of our shows if we wanted.
That'd be amazing.
So this may be one of the bigger, more legitimate quasi-video game related projects.
If you guys play at MAGFest, I want a guest vocal on the Offspring's All I Want.
All I Want. I want to do that, and I want to do Way Down the Line.
Could you cover NFL Blitz? I don't know if there's any music, but you could just do like 30 seconds of people getting torn apart.
Let me see if I can find the link. I'm going to go in and find the link of the one that I'm contemplating doing right now. And it's just going to be like, think what I did on Brain Scraps.
Oh God.
So it's going to be extremely similar as far as like style wise. See if I can find it.
We are getting further and further from ending this show.
Yeah, so anyhow, I'm...
We can end it, and then I will just send this to you guys after we end the show.
Yeah, so anybody got final words for this episode?
Muscle relaxers are pretty nice.